I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Help, I Suck at Dating. My name is Dean, of course, and we have a very spooktacular Halloween episode for you all today. As if the first 5 episodes haven't been horrifying enough, we're going to talk to a few psychics. We're going to, I don't know, better understand maybe where my future is headed. We're going to talk to the producer, Mark's mother-in-law, who, according to him, is just not my biggest fan. And so we're going to get that unique perspective. It's going to be fun. We're going to dive in a little bit more into all that kind of stuff. I personally am a bit of a skeptic when it comes to psychics, so it'll be an interesting conversation to have with all of them. But I think we're going to start off by talking to Sandy. Again, Mark, the producer's mother, mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law.
Right.
My wife's mother. I mentioned to her that, I've been doing some podcasts because she loves everything Bachelor. Uh-huh. She and her mother, who's 86, they watch The Bachelor every week together, and The Bachelorette, and Paradise. They love it all. So I said, do you know Dean? She goes, oh, I don't like Dean. Well, I think you should talk to Dean because I think he's a nice guy. He could maybe win you over. And she said that would be fine.
And when I walked in, Mark mentioned that his mother-in-law Sandy has been writing down questions with each passing day to ask me. So
he's taking notes, all the things she wants to tell you.
So, tell me. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're gonna get Sandy on the phone. I'm a little concerned with the questions that she might have, but I'm excited to speak with her. If she's anything, I mean, I can only imagine the type of woman that you would marry is an incredible woman, and the mother to raise that woman is obviously going to be great as well. Wow. So.
Hello.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Hey, it's Dean. How are you?
I'm fine.
Is now a good time for you to talk?
It is.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time to jump on the phone.
You're welcome.
So I understand, Sandy, that you're not my biggest fan.
I am not.
Let's talk about it.
Okay. Well, the deal is I don't miss any Bachelors, Bachelorettes, or Bachelor in Paradise, or anything. The Bachelor Pad, I've watched them all.
Great.
Okay. If I had a daughter, well, I do have a daughter, but she's married to Mark. But I mean, if I had
Lucky
a
girl.
Single daughter, I would say stay clear away from Dean.
Why?
Because of Bachelor in Paradise. The way you treated Christine, I thought, was awful.
So what specifically do you think I did that you didn't like?
Well, the fact that in the beginning, you seemed great with her. You uh-huh. seemed like a real cute couple.
Yeah.
Then after that, when Danielle came on the scene, you were giving Christine the cold shoulder, but you weren't really telling her, hey, I'm really into Danielle now. So, you know, you should have cut off Christine completely mm-hmm. and went for Danielle,
okay.
or you should have not pursued Danielle while you were still pursuing Christine.
Sure. And of course, looking back and watching that all played back, I'm recognizing a lot of the faults that I had throughout the process of Paradise. I do want to say that there were some things that maybe were omitted from airing that
okay.
that might have...
I probably can agree with that.
But of course, that's no excuse by any means. You know, I definitely was acting like an asshole throughout the entire time on Paradise, and I regret all of that. But what I can do with that moving forward is I'm continuously learning and growing from that, and this podcast is very helpful, and obviously your feedback is incredibly helpful too. So is that the sole reason that you have this strong distaste for me is the whole Paradise situation?
Yes. Like when Mark said, I've talked to Ben and I've talked to Ashley, I, and blah, 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 and Dean, I said, I don't like Dean. He's a player. And he said, really? So how would you like to talk to him? And I said, I would. I would like to. So anyway, what do you think you could have done differently on Paradise?
I think you nailed it on the head. I think I should have been much more direct with my feelings for both of them. It was difficult for me because, I mean, the fact of the matter is I just like two people at the same time, and I wasn't necessarily sure how to move forward from there. And of course, you know, I'm not making excuses for my actions whatsoever.
Right. Well, that happens to a lot of people on Bachelor, where especially when they're down to their last two or three, it's like they are in love with both people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you have to make this major decision. But I've got another question. Have you been in a serious relationship before Bachelor?
I've been in serious relationships before.
And how long?
They usually hover around a year.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good.
I don't know if you're going to have me on any more Bachelor shows to see if I've improved at all, but at least you can subscribe to the podcast and listen.
Yeah. I can.
And you have Mark here to kind of give you maybe like a synopsis of each week. But
yes, I do.
I feel like, Sandy, I feel like with you I have a long way to go.
What do you do on a typical date?
On a typical date?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. I like to keep things light. I like to go out and have like do fun activities. Go-karting. That's one of my go-tos.
Where do you live?
I live in Venice, California.
And have you always lived there?
No, I've lived here for 2 years.
And what do you do for work?
I'm a recruiter.
For
like startup companies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's no problem for you to go on Bachelor or Bachelor in Paradise and still maintain your job?
Well, that's part of it. I'm currently in the midst of a sabbatical right now because of the show. But it's a lot of self-discovery that I'm going through right now. So I think it's definitely, I'm investing in myself right now. And I think that's what I'm trying to take away from all of this is betterment of self, right?
Yep. Do you talk to Christine or Danielle these days?
Yes. Christine and I have remained friendly. You know, we talk about quite a few things. I don't know. It's hard because, you know, first of all, she lives all the way across the country. There's obviously a clear...
Where does she live? Texas?
No, she lives in Lexington, Kentucky, but she's moving to Nashville
okay. Soon.
So there's a lot that we have to work on, and it became very obvious, you know, watching it back through the show. But I think we owe it to each other to be civil with each other and, you know, work through our feelings, whether it's platonically or romantically, whatever it is.
Do you think you'll be dating her again?
I don't really think it's up for me to decide. You know, at the end of the day, she was the one that was kind of slighted by me, and it's really up to her to decide whether or not she feels comfortable with something like that.
Okay.
But Sandy, so you've been married for over 40 years, right?
Yes.
So do you have any advice on how to make a relationship work for me?
Honesty is one of the big things.
Uh-huh.
Respect is another big thing.
Because 40 years, I mean, that's no small amount of time. You know, you and your husband, I'm sure, are doing something right. I'm sure you're probably doing basically everything right. But so honesty, respect.
Yeah, I'd say those are two of the biggest things.
Uh-huh.
And kind of always see what your partner is feeling and, you know, help them in any way you can. And, you know, it's a two-way street, you know. If they're doing something that really bugs you, let them know. Don't just keep holding it in and holding it in and holding it in. Because
right. Apologies
don't mean anything unless you have actions to back them up.
See, and that's something I'm personally working on, too, is expressing my concern about certain things. Because normally I would just kind of, like, sit back and let the negativity unfold, but what I'm working on now is kind of speaking up and expressing that.
I know in the very beginning you had trouble with opening up at all.
Oh, I mean, it's
a lot of guys do.
Yeah, it's just something that I've never really necessarily taken into my own hands to work on, but now I finally have this opportunity to do that. But Sandy, when you first met Mark, did you like him?
No. Well,
no.
I did not like him, but he was 8 years or 9 years older than my daughter.
Right.
She was 17 or 18 at the time.
18, please.
Okay. She was young, and he had really long hair. And I remember he parked right at the end of our driveway.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, looking out the window, I can't tell which one of them is driving because his hair is as long as hers. And she had really long hair. And I know that she said, well, I said something about us meeting him, and she said, well, we're not going to the prom. That's what he said. Like, we don't need to meet him kind of thing. And I'm thinking, she's 18, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of freaked out at that.
So how long?
It's not that I didn't like him. I really liked him once we got to meet him, but I didn't like his attitude of, well, I don't need to meet the parents. I'm 26 or whatever age he was. And, you know, I mean, I understand where he was coming from, but, you know, I mean, she's my daughter. And
of course.
I, you know, was concerned about the age difference, basically.
So how long did it take you to warm up to him?
Oh, not long.
No?
No. Once we met him and he came for dinner and then it was, you know, it was great. Like I tell people now, I've got a son who's married as well, and I tell people I couldn't have picked better mates for my kids than they picked for themselves.
Oh, I love that.
So.
I mean, it's what, 15 years later?
15 married, 20 together.
15 married, 20 together. Right. So it's really hard to even say anything other than positive things about that.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, all right, Sandy, do you have any parting words of wisdom for me here? Because I know I feel like it's not going to take just one conversation to convince you that I'm trying to improve and I'm working on it. But do you have any parting words of advice, anything like that, that you can use for me to maybe be just a better person in relationships moving forward?
I think just basically the honesty is a big thing. If you lie to a girl and she knows you've lied to her, then she can't trust you. And if she can't trust you, trust is like everything. If she can't trust you, then you might as well just give it up. So you definitely want to keep things on the up and up and keep things open and, you know, talk.
Right.
Don't just, you know, go into a different room and shut off and, you know, that's not going to help anybody.
Right.
So.
Well, honesty is very important to me, too. And although it might not have seemed like that throughout Bachelor in Paradise, I'm a big advocate of the fact that, you know, if you're always honest with your partner, you're going to allow them to love you for who you are instead of this fabrication that you keep, you know, kind of lying about. So I went in with the mindset of saying, I'm going to be brutally honest at every moment. You know, if I like another girl, I'm going to be upfront about that. But again, watching it back, I can see how maybe it was versions of the truth and it wasn't the total truth. And that's kind of what I think I personally have to work on is just being 100% honest with not only
treat a girl like a princess. Mark does that with Amy.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, Sandy, thank you so much for calling in. I hope for my sake and for your sake that I can get better at these relationships and continue to work on them.
Well, good. I'm glad you're working on it.
Well, have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Thank you for letting me hang out with Mark every Monday. I really do appreciate it.
Okay, no problem.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, that didn't go quite as well as I expected it to go. I know Mark told me his mother-in-law wasn't the biggest fan, but she clearly... Now, clearly to me, is definitely not the biggest fan. But I understand that. That's kind of just, I brought this upon myself. You know, at this point, what I need to improve is time. And speaking of time, let me tell you guys about these Movement watches that are just fantastic. So Movement is a watch company. I'm sure you guys have seen your friends wearing them, your parents wearing them, people on the street wearing them. You've seen me wear them on my Instagram posts. Basically, what Movement is a watch company, but they create affordable watches for the fashion-forward yet cost-savvy consumer, which is me, which is great. So you can buy Movement watches basically starting just right around $95. If you were to go to a department store, you're probably looking to spend like $400 to $500 on a similar styled and quality watch. But the best thing about them is most of their bands are interchangeable. Their faces are interchangeable. They are super unique, so if you see someone wearing them, you're pretty much able to spot it right away, unlike, you know, a lot of the generic watches out there. So like I said, you can get Movement watches starting at just $95, but if you go to movement.com/help, you can get 15% off with free shipping and free returns. So, you know, just because you like the way it looks doesn't mean you like the way it feels. If you go and order it, you can return it, swap it out for free, find the watch that fits you perfectly. And again, if you go to movement.com/help, you can get 15% off any of their watches, which start at just $95. The one that I'm wearing right now, the one that I wear most often, is this. It's like an American striped band with like a silver bullet face. It's pretty cool. It's got like red, white, and blue on it. It's nice because it's like it goes with a lot of outfits. It's fun to wear. I get compliments on it basically wherever I go. So again, go to movement.com/help. You get 15% off any of your orders, free shipping, free returns. Pretty hard to beat that. Movement.com/help. That's movement.com/HELP. All right, so now I'm going to pass it over to the producer, Mark. He is going to be reading one of our listeners' emails that we asked last week.
This is from Kelsey. She has a question for you about ghosting.
Okay.
Hey, Dean, I have a question for you. I keep getting ghosted. My friends all tell me that I'm just picking the wrong guys. But seeing as I'm the common denominator, I have to own my part in it. My question for you, Dean, is this. If you were to ghost a girl without any explanation, any reason, any argument, etc., what would your reason for doing so be? Kelsey.
Well, Kelsey, great question. I also kind of appreciate how you flip it back around on yourself, because your friends seem to think it's the guys that you choose, but I guess it's you that's choosing those guys. So I honestly, I almost kind of want to take your friend's position on this one. I don't necessarily think it could be anything you're doing wrong. Maybe it's just what you're doing is attracting a certain type of person that's going to be ghosting you. I think at the end of the day, the reason a guy ghosts a girl is because they don't necessarily see a future there with them, and they don't have the wherewithal to tell that person that they don't see that future, because it can be a tough conversation to have. I'm one that likes to avoid difficult conversations, and I think it comes from a good place, right? Like they're doing it thinking that they're doing the right thing, but in all honesty, you on the other side of it are experiencing it very negatively. And it sucks. I've talked to some girls that I used to date in the past who I admittedly have ghosted, and an open and honest conversation about why and how I did that coming back from them, you know, obviously it doesn't feel good. But I think the one thing that you can do, you just need to find an older man maybe. I think that's really what it boils down to a lot of the time, is a lot of young guys in their early to mid-20s are scared to have difficult conversations because they're not necessarily used to having to deal with those hardships like head on. But an older man has been through that process and been through the ringer a few times. Of course, you'll have your instances where there's a younger guy who's willing to kind of have that difficult conversation, even if he doesn't like you. And I mean, I don't even know. I'm just rambling at this point, I feel like. But Kelsey, I think that you don't necessarily have to change anything about yourself. Maybe just increase your barometer for what you think is useful to you in a relationship. You know, increase your standard for finding a guy. Don't necessarily just fall into the trap and, be interested in the first guy that shows you any attention, because typically those are the ones that are going to ghost you, I think.
Raise the bar. That's good advice.
Yes.
Question. If you've hooked up with somebody, does that make ghosting more likely or less likely?
Hook up how?
Like hooked up. Does that make it more of a connection, so you feel more of an obligation to have the conversation? Or does it make it even more difficult and more likely to ghost?
I think that once you hook up with someone, more emotions get involved, which, again, is the root cause for any ghosting, I think, is to spare both parties the emotions, and that's at least the central thought behind it. So, Kelsey, to your point, maybe, I don't know if you're hooking up with these guys that are ghosting you, but I would say stop hooking up with them. You know, maybe spend a little bit more time with them, go on a few more dates, build that emotional connection before you build the physical one. I personally think that would help limit the ghosting, if not reduce it entirely. And I mean, I can only imagine, you know, you get much more emotionally connected after physically connecting with someone as well. So it gets you, it builds you up to be broken down a little bit more as well if you get ghosted. That's my advice. That's actually a great point, Mark. Maybe take a little bit more time before you begin the physical side of your relationship and build on the friendly or the emotional side of it first.
Did you know that Ashley I was talking about you?
No.
This was on the Almost Famous podcast. Would you like to hear what she said about you?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Because we'd like to hear your response to this.
Okay.
I learned this firsthand just by being friends with Dean. Dean told me that he has never once asked a girl out. He'll never ask them to hang out. He will never assume that they are into him. He needs to be like totally convinced by the woman that they are into him first before he does anything.
Okay, so well, thank you, Ashley. I don't know if thank you, but to set the record straight, I definitely have asked girls out before. It's definitely not a common occurrence for me, though, to her point. I think that what Ben is saying is I do have a very distinct fear of rejection, and I think that's kind of where that stems from. Is I'm comfortable with being friends with someone for as long as it takes for them to feel comfortable to ask me out, sort of thing, because I don't necessarily like to put myself out there just to be let down. And I don't necessarily think it's a positive quality to have. I think that when it comes to relationships, or at least like a pursuit of a relationship, I find it hard to make that first move and kind of break through that wall of going from friends to more than that. And I think I've noticed myself getting a little bit better with age, but looking back at like 24-year-old Dean, like when I was on like Bumble or something like that, I would never be the one that was like, all right, let's meet up and let's grab drinks. It was always a conversation that I allowed to just continue flowing until that other person felt comfortable enough to kind of propose the idea. And I think that's what the conversation that I've had with Ashley. And I kind of, you know, especially talking to some of my friends who are girls who are on those types of apps or who have been in the dating pool, all that kind of stuff, I think the constant theme that I continuously see with them is they're always saying that guys assume or guys are getting so far ahead of themselves. And they're like, all right, two texts into a conversation of just meeting someone, they're saying, let's go get drinks or let's go, you know, back to my house and watch Netflix or something like that. And I strive to be kind of the opposite of that. I want to be the antithesis of the common dater in that sense, where it's like, I don't want to make the girl feel uncomfortable. I don't want the girl to be put in a spot where she has to make a decision based on limited information. So that's kind of where I was coming from with all that.
That fear of rejection is causing real problems with young women, if I may.
Why is that?
When I talk to women, their biggest complaints are guys don't ask you out anymore.
Really?
There was a time when they would. They don't anymore because of the fear of rejection.
Okay.
Guys won't make plans. Guys won't call it a date. They'll call it a hang. They'll call it a group hang. They'll just make it so non-committal that they can't be rejected.
I can understand that. I can empathize with that. Mm-hmm. I think that, speaking from experience, it definitely alleviates a lot of the pressure of what a typical, I guess, date would look like. I mean, I've been on both sides of it. You know, I like I said, I've definitely asked girls on dates before. It's not, I'm not saying that I haven't. I also have asked girls on like maybe more like friendly type excursions with multiple friends around. That way everyone's a little bit more comfortable. There's a little bit less of a possibility of rejection. If and when rejection does come, you can be like, oh, that's my friend's fault. Or like, oh, it just didn't work necessarily within the friend group. So, yeah, I don't know. Dating sucks.
The good news is we have psychics coming up that can tell you why you're so afraid of rejection.
I'm excited to speak with the psychics. Again, I'm a bit of a skeptic. My girlfriend from a few years ago was big into like palm reading and psychics and all that kind of stuff. And she tried to get me to go a few times. And I never went. So I've never actually spoken with a psychic before. And what's funny is I know a few of the girls from Nick's season when they were in New Orleans, they went to a psychic as well. And I just kind of always have scoffed at it. So it'll be interesting to see what they have to say. Speaking of going on dates, I know a lot of my friends, and basically I feel like just everyone in general, one of their favorite seasons always seems to be autumn. And what better way to ring in everyone's favorite season than with the FabFitFun box? Because what they do is they tailor boxes specifically for whatever season it is. So, you know, now that autumn is coming up, they're going to include incredible things like the Rose Black Foldover Clutch, the Sterling Forever Wishbone Necklace, the Sponge Gel Body Wash with Infused Buffer and French Lavender, which just smells like fall, the My Tagalong Skipping Rope, let's see, what else? The Marrakesh Leave-In Treatment and Detangler for all of those tangled hairs that you get in the fall. And what's great about FabFitFun is at such a low cost of $49.99 per 3 months, per season basically, you're getting a box that's valued at over $200. But if you use my code DEAN at FabFitFun.com, instead of paying $49.99 for your first box, you're going to be paying $39.99. And again, you're getting a box worth over $200 with perfectly curated content for the season that you're in. So, you know, I think the last one came with a scarf as well. That was maybe the coziest thing I've ever worn. They have scents and lotions and all that kind of stuff that coincide with the time of year that it is. And if you go to fabfitfun.com and use my code Dean, you can get $10 off your box. So for $39.99, you're getting a box valued at over $200. It's funny, actually, my brother texted me a couple days ago and was like, hey, I keep hearing about this FabFitFun box. I really want to get one for my girlfriend. And I was super encouraging of it because I think at the end of the day, every girl is going to be able to use every single product in that box. And it's an incredible value. So why not go ahead and do it? So go to FabFitFun.com, use my code Dean, get $10 off. You won't regret it. All right, so at the top of the episode, we talked about how we'll be bringing in a few psychics to discuss relationships, maybe just what my future holds, whatever. We're going to take some callers and have some conversations about that as well. So to start it off, we're speaking with Psychic Danny, who is on the line now. Danny, are you there? Oh. Danny, are you there?
Yes, this is Dean.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well.
You're already psychic. You already knew who it was. great. So, Danny, so you're a psychic, right? So maybe what's the proper word to explain what you do?
You can call me a psychic. That's fine. Some people think it's kind of kitschy and don't like to use the word.
What do you prefer?
I'm fine with it. Okay. I don't mind it at all.
Gotcha. All right. So Danny, do you mind talking about your gift a little bit? How did you come to find that you're able to do this? Was it something you've had since a child? Is it something that you've kind of learned how to do over time?
Combination of both. You know, I always knew something was up. Like, I just sort of knew things. I never had visions or heard voices or anything like that. So until I got older, I didn't really recognize that psychic ability could come in through sensing. It's called clairsentience, and that's what I do. It comes in as sort of a knowing. And as I got older, I just developed it and honed it more.
Got it. So what type of training have you had? Is it all personal training? Do you...
Yeah, it's just through using it. I haven't gone to any sort of develop your psychic abilities sort of classes or anything.
Awesome. So for people that are skeptical, and I'll admit I'm a bit of a skeptic myself, is there anything that you can say to them that might make them more open to the idea of this?
Not really, just that if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a healthy skeptic as well.
Yeah. I think,
you know, unfortunately, we have these charlatans that have gone around for years with the neon psychic palm in their right. window that have taken advantage of people. But everybody has psychic ability. It's not all that mystical, you know?
It's just a matter of honing in on it.
Exactly. I mean, we've all had when we think of our friend or something, and then all of a sudden they call.
Right.
I mean, that's psychic ability.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So do you ever use your psychic ability to help people with their relationships, or what do you typically pertain your abilities to?
It's usually relationships, money, work, the typical stuff that most people want to know. Right. I do a little bit of medium work. It's not my area of expertise, but people have come through who have passed on. Excuse me.
Gotcha. Well, so, Danny, we have some callers calling in to ask about relationships, some of their questions, and we want to focus on that for the remainder of the segment. Is that okay with you?
That's fine with me.
All right. Well, Danny, what do you have to say about me? What kind of senses are you getting from me in regards to my dating and my relationships?
Well, is there anything specific you want to know? We can go on for hours about just stuff I pick up.
Yeah. First and foremost, am I ever going to figure this thing out?
Figure dating out?
Yeah.
Well, you need a little bit of help in that area.
Well, that's why we have you calling in.
Okay. Where do you feel that you're blocked, or do you just have no idea?
I think that I'm just across the board working on everything. So I don't think there's one specific area. Maybe communication. I tend to be hesitant to open up a little bit, but yeah. I think we all have room for improvement, me more so than most people.
Okay. Well, first of all, I don't think you should be dating. I think you should be doing group activities where you meet people.
Okay.
You're not meeting the right kind of women. Your picker is off, if that makes any sense to you.
I understand the group settings, maybe keep it a little bit lighter, a little bit less fear of rejection if you do something like that too, which is always good.
Exactly. I mean, you need a woman who's gentle and introspective and kind the way that you are. Not some sort of Hollywood showy, superficial girl.
Right.
You need somebody with depth.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think that they're hard to find these days. They're you know, especially in Los Angeles, there are maybe not so many of them, but...
Absolutely. I lived there for a year, so I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, so do Do you have like a timeline for me or anything like that? Are you able to kind of see anything like that? Maybe give me like a rough approximation of when you think things might fall into place for me.
Give me a moment here. Let me tune in. You know, timing is very iffy with a reading.
Right.
Because we all have free will and things happen the way that we're supposed to. That they're supposed to, but the thing is, you know, you're not really ready yet. It's going to take about 2.5 years where you feel confident enough to attract the type of woman you need. I'm not saying that you're not going to date or that you're not going to meet some nice girls, but you want something of substance. I don't see you as the dating type of person. I see you as somebody who's going to settle down and create a life with somebody.
I mean, that's what I want to do.
Okay, that's not going to come for about 2.5 years, but you're not ready for it anyway. That's part of the reason it's not happening for you.
Yeah, 2.5 years, I'll be right around 29 years old. I think that just in terms of timeline for life, it makes sense to kind of be more right around there, early 2020-ish.
And you're going to have more confidence then.
Yeah, which I think I could definitely benefit from. All right, so Danny, we're going to start taking some phone calls from some listeners and maybe see if we can help them, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, so right now we have Mandy calling from Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Hi.
Mandy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I have Psychic Danny on the line right now. She's going to help with your question. Do you mind asking the question?
Sure. Well, my boyfriend and I were doing pretty well, and we've been talking about marriage. So I'm just wondering, like, is that in the future?
What's your boyfriend's name, Mandy?
His name is Tyler.
Okay, and how long have you been together?
We'll be actually a year in next month.
Okay, give me just a moment here. He feels young. You know, it feels as though he is very much in love with you and he would like to marry you eventually. But he's mm-hmm. young. You know, is this the first boyfriend that you've had?
No.
Okay, give me just a moment here. Strong possibility you'll marry, but it's going to take a while. I'd give it about 5 years.
Ooh, that's a long time. Mandy, do you have the patience to wait for 5 years?
I do. I mean, he's obviously pretty special to me, and like I have a really strong connection that I have with him than with past boyfriends. And I don't know. For some reason, I feel very patient and kind of confident in what we have. And so 5 years doesn't bother me.
That's good.
Which is odd.
And no, absolutely. And if you love him, I think that you'll find a way to make it work, right? And if I don't know if it's you that wants to wait 5 years or him that wants to wait 5 years. But at the end of the day, it sounds like you really genuinely love him, which is absolutely what you want.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're obviously there are, you know, aspects that we have in our lives and we're still trying to figure it out. But, you know, last night we were talking about it, actually. He was like, when do you want to get married? And, I mean, it's kind of a hard question to answer because there's just so many things to think about.
Going on. 2022 is going to be a good year. I can already sense it. Mandy, we're going to call you back in 5 years, and we're going to get to the bottom of this, too. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling.
To it.
All right, great.
Thank you so much, Dean.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, so next, Danny, we're going to have Chantel in Kansas.
Okay.
Chantel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi. So I have Danny, the psychic, on the line. Chantel, do you mind asking her your question?
No, I don't. Okay. So I'm not currently in a relationship, but I mean, I'm looking and keeping my options open.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that I like is interested in one of my friends. So I guess I'm kind of just wondering, like, what my dating life is going to look like. Because right now it's insane and non-existent.
Okay, give me just a moment, Chantel.
Okay.
It feels like you need to focus on study for a while. It does feel like you're going to have about 3 or 4 guys circling you within the next year or two.
Ooh, Chantel.
There's one that's very, very special, but you need to take the time to get to know him because he's hard to get to know. Excuse me. But you're going to know right off the bat that he's the one that you really want to spend time with as opposed to the other three that are circling.
Okay.
Will it turn into marriage? I'm not sure.
Okay, that's awesome.
But that actually makes sense. But you need to focus on study. Don't let the relationships get in the way of that, okay?
Okay. That's awesome, because I'm a nursing student, so...
Perfect.
Chantel, that's the perfect career for you, by the way.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, Chantel, well, thank you so much for calling in. I hope that helped.
No problem. Thank you, Dean.
All right, have a great day.
You too. Bye.
All right, Danny, we have another one. We're going to go over to Heather in St. Louis. And that was a spot on reading, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Heather, it's Dean. Are you there?
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
Wow, I can't believe I am on your podcast. I was literally just listening to it.
Oh, well, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for calling in. We also have Psychic Danny on the line, okay? She's going to be able to help you with your question.
Okay, sweet.
So do you mind asking her what the question is?
Yeah, okay. So my question is, how do you know, like, when that you, like, just shouldn't be in the relationship and that it's just not working out anymore? And if that person doesn't want it to work out?
Well, first of all, asking the question, you already know. Okay.
Yeah, I guess so, but it's just a very complicated situation, and I just don't understand, like, how he's thinking.
Well, I'll tell you what, Heather, ask yourself this. Does it feel toxic to you?
Well, my friends would say that it's toxic, but, like, when I'm in there, like, it's not even a relationship anymore. It's just very, like, on and off and, like, not overall probably a great situation to be in. But, like, when we're together, it's like nothing else matters.
Yeah, that's lust. That's not love.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't mean lust just necessarily in a physical, sexual sense, but I mean in general. Mm-hmm.
Because we were such, like, great friends before, like, anything happened. And so then the reason that we ended was because we didn't want to lose our friendship.
No, if it was the right relationship, the friendship would have blossomed more. This isn't mm-hmm. the right guy for you. And again, the simple fact that you're asking the question, you already know what the answer is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you two just aren't right for each other. And actually, to tell you the truth, it feels like you'll remain friends, and it's going to renew your friendship again, and you never should have gone in a relationship.
Well, because it's just been, like, so hard to, like, get over it, should I just not even be his friend anymore then?
No, you can be his friend, but you might want to take some time in between. But
yeah.
I'll tell you something. He's going to do the push-pull with you, and he's going to try and pull you back into being in the relationship. And it's just not a healthy relationship for you.
Yeah.
There's so many other people out there for you. Seriously. A year from now, you're going to look back at this and laugh. Seriously.
Yeah.
Heather, you just got to find the right one for you.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Maybe one day. Well, hey, Heather, keep listening to the podcast. Maybe one of these days we'll have you call back in and give us an update on kind of where you're at. But thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
All right, have a good day. All right, Danny, we have one more. We're going to call Victoria in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
Victoria, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, so I have Psychic Danny on the line, and I understand you might have a question for her.
I do.
Let's hear it.
All right. Have I met the person that I'm going to marry yet?
Is there one specific person that you're asking about?
Not necessarily.
As far as that's already in your mind and you're wondering if that's the one?
And not necessarily. But I feel like I'm 25. I feel like everyone's like, you've already met the person you're going to marry by that time in your life.
Oh, not at all. Not at all, honey. You've got so much time to go.
Wait, Danny, I have the same question for you now. I'm curious. I'm 26. Have I met the girl that I'm going to marry?
Absolutely not.
No?
Absolutely not for Dean. But with Victoria, give me a moment to see if you actually have. But in general, it takes some people to their 50s to meet the person that they're going to marry. So give me just a moment, Victoria.
Okay.
I would say no. You've met a man that, well, not a man, a guy, because he feels younger than a man. But you've met a guy who is soulmate, but not in a romantic sense.
Okay.
Okay, but it's going to be, I'd say, about 2 to 3 years before you meet marriage material. But you're going to have a lot of fun up until then.
Ooh, lots of fun.
Hey, I love having fun. That's a good thing.
And that's what you need right now. Just enjoy.
And I will just keep enjoying the weekend.
Yeah, you're going to know it when you meet the guy. I mean, you're going to know it right off the bat, and he's going to know it.
Perfect.
Well, Victoria, thank you so much for calling in. We hope that helps. Good luck on your quest.
Oh, you too.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye. You too.
All right. Danny, that was impressive. You got a couple of those spot on.
Well, thank you, but it's not about ego. I'm just trying to help.
Perfect. All right, Danny. Well, thank you again so much for taking the time to call in and help some of the listeners. You got some of them spot on. It was actually really impressive. But we need to move on. But if any of the listeners out there would like to get a reading from Danny Brown, you're more than welcome to email her at intuitiveinsight@awl.com. And it's spelled INITVINSIGHT. So intuitiveinsight@awl.com. Or you can email us at isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. And, you know, if you have any other questions or you want to talk to Danny specifically, again, you're able to email her at intuitiveinsight@awl.com. And Danny, thank you again so much for the time. Thank you for calling in. Some of the listeners, I mean, definitely sounds like they appreciate it, and, you know, hoping for the best for everyone.
I am too, Dean, and you as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Give it a little time, Dean, okay?
Just be patient, like you were saying.
Exactly, and you'll know when she's the right one. Watch the cues. Don't listen to what she says. Watch her actions.
Okay. I can definitely understand that. All right. Well,
okay.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome. Take care, Dean.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I hate to be – I mean, I just think inherently about everything I'm skeptical. I enjoy being a skeptic. I think that it's important to be skeptical about most, if not everything. It's difficult for me to jump fully on board with the psychic readings, maybe just because I don't understand it to the extent that I'm supposed to, but – it's easy to make broad, overarching claims about basically everyone that applies to a lot of people's lives. I don't necessarily – like, the thing that maybe makes me the most uncomfortable with it is people take this stuff to heart. So if someone says, you haven't met the husband that you're – or you haven't met the person you're going to marry yet, then that person, if they want to fully believe it, they're going to discount every relationship that they have now because they're like, okay, like, I haven't met the person yet. You know, I don't necessarily need to worry about any of my current or past relationships because I'm still looking for the one that I'm going to marry. And that kind of doesn't sit well with me because it closes a lot of doors, and it doesn't necessarily allow you to, I don't know, just kind of live life as you're supposed to live it. It makes you kind of more narrow-sighted. But again, that's just my take on it. I know that everyone kind of takes these psychic readings with a grain of salt, but I know that there is also a select few that take it basically as gospel and follow it devoutly. And, you know, more power to them. If it works for them, that's great. I'm going to remain skeptical. All right, so we're between psychics right now. I don't want to leave anyone on hold. We have Talia from Toronto who wants to know if she's crazy or if she's a crazy girlfriend like her ex thinks. Talia, are you there?
Yeah, hi, I'm here.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh my gosh, this is crazy.
So I have to admit, we don't have a psychic on the line right now. I just saw you call in, and I figured it was a question that I could help you with instead of having to, you know, rely too heavily on the psychics.
Yeah, no, I think you're just as reliable as a psychic.
Thank you so much. All right, so describe your situation to me, and maybe we can talk through it together.
Okay, so I'm in high school, so I'm, like, small. But I had an ex, and he's like, honestly, like, you're the craziest ex-girlfriend. Like, he obviously really dislikes me. And it's like, you're super crazy, like, is very upset with me. And, like, I personally think, like, I'm super sane. And, like, I don't think I'm a crazy girlfriend. Like, I think I'm pretty lenient with the guys I see. But, like, I guess he thinks opposite. So, like, I don't know if I just bruised his ego. Because, like, our breakup didn't end well.
How did you guys break up?
Okay, so he broke up with me because, like, he is, like, kind of, like, a really popular guy at our school and is used to his girlfriends, like falling out of seat, idolizing him. And I was super distant and kind of, like, I guess emotionally unavailable were his words.
Sure. Okay, so then he ended it with you?
Pardon?
And then he ended it with you?
Yeah, he ended it with me.
So what actions do you express that he thinks are crazy?
See, that's the thing. Like, he's never clear on them. He's just, like, she's psycho. Like, I guess I was, he sees that I was like flirty with other people in our relationship, which I see differently. And like, he is like, oh, like, you were like manipulative. And like, I'm worried that I'm like, maybe I was like, maybe I'm super crazy.
Have you talked to any of your friends or his friends about the relationship?
Yeah. So I've talked to like, so a lot of our friends had to stay neutral about us because like, it was like a huge thing in our school, our breakup. But, like my friends were like, okay, like you're obviously crazy. Cause like girls are crazy sometimes, but like, they don't think I'm a crazy girlfriend. But then his friends are like, no, you're crazy.
Do you guys like talk or text ever, you and your ex?
No, not at all.
Not at all. So all of this craziness that he's basing it off of is just like social interaction through your friends, through school, through parties, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're doing something that you're not telling me, it sounds like you're not very crazy. I think he's probably...
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think honestly, like you said, if he's this popular guy, he probably isn't used to being rejected in any sort of way or not, you know, having someone open up to them. Maybe have you ever like stolen his phone or like logged onto his Facebook or anything like that? Like,
oh my God, no. Okay. Like definitely not.
Has he blocked you on Instagram or Facebook or anything?
Yeah, all social media.
He blocked you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest. I've blocked girls in the past. And
yeah. Why do guys do that? Like, I don't understand the whole blocking thing.
For me specifically, I just didn't want them to have an avenue to reach out to me. So I didn't want them.
That's fair.
I didn't want them to be able to text me or DM me on Instagram or whatever it is. That was my, and I didn't want to kind of allow that Pandora's box to open back up. So that's why I did it personally.
Yeah, that makes sense.
For him blocking you, I don't know. I think that maybe we're missing some bits of the story. How long were you guys together for?
We were together for 6 weeks.
Oh my gosh, what a short relationship.
No, shortest relationship ever.
If he were to come back to you and he said, Talia, I miss you, I want to take you back, would you get back together with him?
Oh no. He was like a little abusive, not gonna lie.
Verbally or physically?
Like physically.
What?
And so, and he's like, since like we broke up, spreads all these rumors about
okay,
me.
I take back everything I said. He is clearly a crazy person. You don't need to worry about anything. I mean, he's got it like this, maybe this ego that's like you said, not used to being bruised like it is. And here you are kind of not giving him what he wants. And he's not used to that, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I'm glad that you're like confirming this for me, though.
I don't think you're crazy. I think he sounds very crazy.
Thanks, Steve. That's so great.
I'm kind of curious to get updates from you every once in a while. Can we talk to you in like maybe a couple weeks and see where everything's going with this?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'd love to talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay. Thank you. I hope that helped. Talia, thank you so much for calling in. Good luck with everything. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Best of luck with high school.
You, not you too. You're out in high school, but thanks.
Yeah, of course. All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So we just spoke with Danny, who is a psychic. She says she's practicing medium work a little bit. But next up, we have Lisa Devine, psychic number two for the podcast today. We're gonna bring her in. We're gonna have her talk to some of the callers. Lisa, are you there?
Hi.
Hi. How are you? Thank you so much for calling in.
I'm good. Absolutely. How are you doing, Dean?
I'm doing well. So, Lisa, can you tell us a little bit more about you? Because you're a psychic, right? Or do you prefer to go by a different title?
I know. It's so funny, all of us who have these abilities. We have so many different titles.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you could call – there's a lot of different titles. I do a lot of different things, a lot of spiritual counseling and intuitive counseling and things like that. But I would tell you that the thing that I do 100% of the time is that I have this ability to physically see and communicate and speak with angels. And so they actually are the ones who really have the highest percentage of coming in and giving me the most messages.
Okay.
So I guess we could call myself an angel whisperer or
okay,
and psychic, intuitive, or yeah.
Maybe like a medium. So these angels are people of importance to whoever it is that you're speaking through. Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's amazing. Okay, great. Well, Lisa, so we're going to just jump right onto the phones and take a couple callers. And I'd love for you and I to maybe discuss a little bit more about me later on, if that's okay.
Absolutely. I have tons of a message for you as well.
I can't wait. All right. Well, so we're going to start with Sarah over in Washington, D.C. Sarah, are you there?
Hey, yeah. I'm going to jump off the treadmill.
Oh. Sarah's in the gym. I love it.
You know, it's my first day back from an injury.
Gotcha. All right, so Sarah, so you have Lisa Devine, who is a psychic angel whisperer, on the phone here. What kind of questions do you have for her?
So I was just wondering, I like grew up around about a lot of like negative relationships with my family, and I'm wondering if that's going to be like, if that's stuff affecting my like love life, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it actually is the, it is absolutely the driving force, but you have surpassed the negativity by right now getting to this point of having the awareness that you have right now about this negativity, instead of being, you know, immersed in it and being totally engulfed in it, is that is the point that you've gotten to right now. That is that you're, you know, 99% of the way, all the way through this. So that awareness is actually the key for your surpassing it right now. And that negativity is also part of the path for you to be able to take things and shift them in a different way. But what you need to do is look at yourself and look at the way that this negativity has infused into your life a little bit. Maybe look at some of the past patterns and the habits that you've had with people that you pick or people that you choose to surround yourself with. And this isn't just in your love relationships, but it's also friendships. When we have a lot of negativity or negativity, in our life, we tend to become comfortable with it. Even if it's not something we want, it's something that we feels normal to us. And then we start to draw in people that, you know, have that same energy, and we start to, you know, deal with it. We kind of feel happy that we're challenged, you know, with it, and we kind of are like, I know how to break through this. But at the end of the day, we want to just get it, you know, straight out of our life. So absolutely it does have something to do with it, but it was a purpose for it, and there's a, this is a path that you're on that was meant to get you to this exact spot of this awareness that you have right now. And so this is the time where you can start to make the changes and be really intentional about not letting any more of that into your life from now, here on out.
Oh, that's awesome. I just like, yeah, I always want to try to keep it out of my life, but it kind of sneaks back in there. So I'm always trying to keep, I guess, try to be more self-aware.
And it's very sneaky. They come in different ways. So it's interesting. It won't come in the same way as that negative person that comes in one way, you know, in your childhood. Other people will come in a different way, and it almost is masked as if it's a very whole different type of energy, but it's very much the same in the undercurrent of that person. So just being aware and keeping yourself very aware of it, how your body feels, that's going to be your biggest barometer and your biggest compass, is for you to take a look at, how does my body feel when I'm around this person? Does it feel heavy? Does it feel tired? Or do I feel revived? Do I feel awake? And that is going to be the compass that you want to use to continue going on your path.
Great.
Sarah,
I hope you caught all that. That was quite a bit. That's great.
Yeah, I'm like, kind of like, I can't even think of the words to respond. I guess like that's kind of something I've been wanting to hear. And definitely like that's good energy to be like going into like the holiday season with, especially because like you can be around negative people and negative energy with that much family. So like, I really appreciate that.
Love
absolutely.
It. All
absolutely.
Right. Sarah, well, thank you so much for calling in. Get back to your workout and have a happy holiday season. Okay.
Thank you. And to you both as well.
Sending your healing vibes as well.
Oh, thank you.
All right. All right, Lisa, we're going to move to Leslie in Mesa, Arizona next.
Hello.
Hey, Leslie, it's Dean. And Lisa, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. So,
hi.
So we have Lisa Devine. What's your question for her? She's the psychic.
Okay, so I've been married for going on 4 years now, and I'm only 22. But we and my husband have had 3 kids together in that four-year timeline. So he's wanting more children. I am done. Completely done. So I guess my question to you is, do you see any more kids in my future or not?
No, get a dog.
Yes, I can agree with that.
No, I think that it would be, I mean, look, questions like that can go either way.
And I don't, and I, you know, because people can make, you have free will, so you can, you know, move back and forth and you can choose whatever really you would like. But if you're asking me, you know, intuitively, absolutely, I believe that you're done and you have an entire growth period that's showing up. You have a whole new life coming for you that is beyond the children, and you're going to want to be able to put your attention on that. So do a compromise with him and ask him, you know, if there's some other way that he can, you know, you guys can compromise and find another way that he can satisfy that itch for having another baby. But I do feel like it's the time is that's finished now. Just have a lot of pictures up on the wall. Get a dog.
Leslie, yeah. I just want to voice my opinion as well. I fully agree with Lisa. I think that, I mean, obviously, I don't have the psychic intuition that she has, but I think that if your husband really wants to have another child, if you don't want to, at the end of the day, it's your choice, right? And maybe consider adoption. Maybe consider a dog, I think, is a great choice. But I don't think that – I don't want you to feel pressured into doing that just because it's something that he wants. It should be a mutual agreement for that. That's my take on it. I just wanted to at least voice that.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, Leslie. Well, we hope that helped. Thank you so much for calling in. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
And tell her
so much.
Also, when she's listening later, to take a very deep breath first thing every morning for you would be a really beautiful thing. Take a nice, deep breath and then get through that day because you're busy, girl.
Sounds like it.
I definitely am.
Well, best of luck to you.
Right. Thank you, guys.
All right, bye. All right, Lisa, we have one more caller. We're going to go over to Fiona in New York. Fiona, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So we have Lisa Devine on the line. She's your psychic. What kind of question do you have for her?
So I think my boyfriend's going to break up with me.
Uh-oh.
Mm. Okay. And what is the question? Is he going to break up with me?
Yeah.
Break up with him first. No, I mean, I think that what he's doing right now is toying with the idea. He's going back and forth, and I don't think that he actually has a legitimate feeling one way or the other. I think that he goes back and forth each day and or each moment or each minute. And that would be, if I can just be empowering on the other hand, is, yes, I can see him wobbling back and forth. So if he is really of importance to you and this is something that you really want to pursue, then I would get into a really nice, deep, vulnerable, communicative place with him. Or I would just be, you know, asking yourself, am I being honored? Is this the kind of relationship I want to be in where somebody is can't decide if they want to be with me, but they're not speaking to me about it or not trying to work through it? And then I would actually make my own decision on that, you know, before I would put too much thought into, is he going to do it? I would start to consider my own options of what would I like for my own life. Mm-hmm. I think that's where you're at right now. And maybe just seeing it from that perspective of what would you like to, you know, who would you like to be around? Who would you like to be with?
Yeah.
Who would you like to be spending and creating a life with? You can't create a life with somebody who is keeping their own, you know, back and forthness from you.
Yeah. Like, I want someone who's, like, who knows they want to be with me. And, like, I don't want to build a life with someone who's, like, so unsure, you know?
Right. So, it's almost like he's doing things to make you break up with him.
Yeah, he's been, like, really weird lately.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's not having the nerve to do it. And, like, you know, that's not the man you need. That's not going to help you grow.
No, not at all. Oh, honey, I can get enough in a minute. I don't need him.
Yeah. And that's the energy, that's the perception you want to stand in. Instead of putting it on thinking about what he's thinking, you want to definitely stand your root your feet into the ground and ask yourself, no, all I can control is right here in what's within me. And what would I have another woman do? What would I ask for another person if they were in this situation? And then I'm going to choose that same thing for myself.
Oh, thank you so much. That was such good
You're
advice.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome.
All right, Fiona. Well, thank you so much for calling in and asking the question. We hope that helped.
Thank you so much. I love you so much, Dean. You're so welcome.
And thank you for listening, and best of luck with everything.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Lisa. Great job. I think on all three phone those calls. Now it's just me and you, girl.
All right. To this. How much time do we have left?
We have as much time as you want. It really depends.
Oh, my gosh. So it's so funny because I've just been getting bombarded with you know, information for you.
Uh-huh.
And honestly have not, I didn't know who you were. I wasn't aware of you know, anything about you. But was getting these beautiful, strong messages for you. First of all, just some of the things that were just coming in right off the bat was that there's this really deep, like, misunderstanding about you that has been, you know, from a lot of people have been misunderstanding you, and then it's almost like you've looked around and seen that and then turned it around on yourself and started to misunderstand yourself.
Hmm.
You have this, yeah?
No, continue. I'm sorry.
No, tell me what were you going to say, because I wanted to hear.
Well, I was going to say, I think that there does seem to be misunderstanding about me. I think I can agree with that statement. I think that I was labeled something that I'm not. Again, I think that my actions reflected the label, and I'm not arguing that point at all.
Okay.
But at the core, I just know that's not right. So that's
okay. Good.
That's
okay.
I guess me agreeing with that part of it, at least.
Good. Okay. Yeah, there is a sensitivity, like a really deep sensitivity to you, and there is a really strong desire for love, and it's almost like what, you know, the angels are showing me is that you have this idea of what a relationship should be, and you're looking at like this idea of what it should be, but in actuality, you are on this path that you haven't really, it hasn't, you know, went into full like opening up of this path and this purpose yet. So you're kind of still on it, and you can't really get to see that you're actually changing the paradigm of what love looks like for a lot of people. And you're actually being able to expose this new kind of paradigm for love, this one that is, you know, what is, you know, it's like showing me each person, you're showing each person, you're like this model of hope that's showing them, you know, what is your love story? What is your idea of love? What does it look like for you? So that everybody has this different kind of perfect, I'm putting that in quotes, relationship, but it's based upon all of our imperfections. And you're kind of in the same place. You have this, they're showing me that you had this ultimately this idea, and if you were looking at this idea, and if you weren't doing that idea, then you were assuming that you were judging that you were doing something wrong.
Right.
And so what they're telling me is to look instead of stop, you know, instead of looking at other people or looking at like, ooh, did I hurt that person, or keeping your gaze just on all of the other people, basically turning it on yourself and looking into yourself and having compassion there for who you are, you know, for what works for you, for being really vulnerable, you know, using your sense of humor, using your, you know, your knowledge and this vulnerability that you have that you're exposing to everybody and kind of working in that way.
So I guess what you're saying in summation of all that is don't necessarily allow myself to get put into a box. Because I think to your initial point is there is a lot of, for the first time in my life, first time I've experienced it, there is a lot of outside influence on me, both individually and in a presumptive relationship or prospective relationship, whatever it is. And I think to that initial point that you made is it's hard to not let other people influence the idea of what a relationship is for me, when obviously it varies from person to person. So I think what you're saying is don't necessarily allow that influence to take effect. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say, is that you are completely out of the box, and trying to fit in the box is just, this is not, your purpose is to be out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And your purpose is to have this completely other, you know, relationship. There's a relationship coming for you, and she is a grounded girl, and she sees you, but it's a completely different love than you're imagining that it would be.
Okay.
And so they're saying basically bust up that whole idea of what you are thinking that it is,
so that this new one can come through. This real, organic, imperfect love, you know, that it's completely authentic to you, and it's a perfect thing for you. It wouldn't be perfect for other people, you know, but then you're, then by doing that, you're being this model for people of finding their own love that works for them so that they bust out of their own box.
And what,
because we're in a time right now where everybody's busting out of the box and we just don't do relationships the way we used to do them anymore.
What do I have to do to receive that love? What do I have to do to open myself up to be able to find it?
I know that this is the best part. You don't have to do anything. They're telling me it's just going to come in and slap you in the face. Like literally if a girl comes to you in the next little while, it slaps you in the face.
That's the one.
She's the one. They're telling me to have you turn it on to yourself and start to just spend the time, like give yourself a lot of time alone. Like they're showing me outdoors is really good for you. Mm-hmm. Take a walk on the beach, go do some kind of exercise or activity that you love to do. Something where you can kind of just get into this space of being in your own energy, because the more that you're okay and understanding yourself, the more that she's able to see you because you can see yourself.
Okay. Interesting. So just continue to live my life as I want to live it, essentially.
Continue living your life and just being introspective and turning it into yourself. Exactly. You have already this zest for life. You have this, they're showing me such a deep sensitivity inside, this like really beautiful, loyal, affectionate. You're just a really caring person. And I think that that's actually hurt you before, because that's, you know, it's almost like you're exposing yourself and you're raw and you're vulnerable. And, you know, that can actually seem to other people like, you know, it can backfire on you. It kind of has hurt you before to be that way, or that you come across in a way that wasn't your intention. And so they're asking you to have compassion for yourself, to be able to look at yourself and really, you know that you're coming from a really big heart. Mm-hmm. Is the bottom line.
I do.
All of your intentions.
I do think that is pretty true.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I have a question. So earlier when we first introduced you, you said that you are an angel whisperer of sorts, correct? And when you do that,
yeah,
do you find yourself having to be in the same room as the person? Are you able to do it over the phone? How does that work?
I'm able to do it over the phone. I'm able to do it everywhere, anywhere. It's really interesting.
All right, so I have a quick question to ask you then.
Yeah.
So I just recently got this tattoo on my back, on my shoulder, last week. I got a butterfly because butterflies are symbolic of angels. At least I think according to like Japanese lore or something along those lines.
Get out of here. Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
So when I was 10 years old, I don't really share this story often. Not many people know this about me. When I was 10 years old, I had this best friend. His name was Hunter Holly Scott. He was the same age as me. We had the exact same birthday. And, you know, at that age, you're grasping at straws to find, you know, commonalities between each other. So having the same birthday as someone kind of allows them to be your best friend at that point, right? So we were best friends from like second grade until fifth grade. I remember one day we were riding our bikes around Basalt, where I grew up. And we went to like the market to get drinks or something like that. And he killed a butterfly with his bicycle. It was this beautiful yellow monarch butterfly.
Wow.
And then maybe like 10 to 15 minutes later, we were both bicycling back home because we lived next to each other. We were neighbors. And he fell on his bicycle and then got ran over by a truck. And I was right behind him. And so I've always kind of had this strange appreciation for butterflies. And I've always wanted to get this butterfly tattoo.
Oh my gosh.
He, of course, passed away that moment. But are you able to like speak with him at all?
Wow. Yeah, let's try to pull him in. I will tell you this. There is an angel that has been coming to me for you specifically, and his name is Jeremiah. It's an archangel, Jeremiah.
Okay.
It's Jeremiel.
Jeremiah.
And yeah.
Interesting.
And he's letting me know that he was there. During this time. And actually, yes, there was this symbolic presence of this. This is a talk further conversation as well.
Of course.
But yes, we have this presence. And give me this, your friend's name again.
It was Hunter Holly Scott.
Hunter. Okay. Yeah. And absolutely, Hunter has a wow. I mean, there's just such a strong presence. He's with you. This is part of your path, this purpose that I've been speaking to you about. It's almost like he was this guide for you, that he's come in and he's still with you. I'm sure you can sense him all the time or very often.
Oh, absolutely.
It's almost like he was a guide for you. You guys came in and, I'm even getting that maybe this angel, that Jeremiah that's coming in, it's almost that he's merging, showing me that he had merged with that energy. So what I would assume is that he's always been with him. It's like this guide for you. This Jeremiah has always been a guide for you. And this child was a friend, but he's also was a guide for you. And there's still so much more to learn from this friend. He still wants to continue to be friends with you and, you know, to continue your friendship. But yes, that pivotal moment was traumatic. But in that trauma, there was also this jolt. It did something in you where it fueled you with a purpose that you weren't aware of for all of these years and is starting to unfold right now. So I believe that the moment that you got the tattoo, which, by the way, he was with you, you know, kind of getting his own little angel imprint, you know, and or butterfly imprint on himself. This is really the time where your purpose is starting to awaken. And so that was almost, that moment was a symbol of that, whether you're aware of that or not. He was there. It's almost like he's starting to now merge with you here at this time.
I love that. Lisa, thank you so much.
Yeah, there's a significant part of, or there's a significant date of when, is there a date that you got the or a time or a moment that you decided you were going to get it, or when you got it, or something like that?
Well, so it's kind of been in two parts. When I was 19, one of my other best friends, who was very, very close to Hunter, and I both got HHS in 1991 to 2003 on her back for, you know, just basically to commemorate his life and kind of a bonding of our friendship altogether. And then this past weekend, I've always toyed around and thought about the butterfly tattoo. I've always, like, told my friends that I wanted to get a butterfly tattoo, and they're always like, no, you can't get a butterfly tattoo, like, that's too, like, early or whatever. And every single time I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm just gonna do it. And then so one of my great friends and I both went to the tattoo parlor last week, and I mean, I love it personally. I think it's girly, but it's important to me, and I think that's the most important thing.
It's great. It's absolutely great. Yeah, it's a beautiful I have the chills talking about it, because there's a really strong connection between you and him. And it's almost like in that moment, yes, he was jolted into another realm, but there was a very, very strong union between you two that surpasses these realms and dimensions that he's been with you. He is a guide. He's an absolute guide, and you can talk to him whenever, and he will be there, and he will answer, and he will find a way always to lead you, to guide you, to mentor you, and he will communicate and open doors for you as well.
I love that. Well,
I know you said
that a lot of this conversation is kind of left to be had at a later time when we have more time to discuss. And I agree with you. I think I'd love to talk with you a little bit more about it. But for now,
absolutely,
Lisa, I wanted to thank you one more time for calling in and, you know, speaking with our listeners and giving me more insight both to my romantic life and my friends. And you know, I really do appreciate all of it.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
If any of the listeners want to reach out to Lisa, you can go to her website, themodernmagdalene.com. That's themodern, MAGDALENE.com. And Lisa, thank you again. And like I said, I'd love to continue a conversation with you later on. And, you know, maybe we can talk.
Awesome. We'll connect soon.
All right. Take care.
Talk soon. Bye. Right,
bye. Yeah, that was an interesting day for me.
No, he died in front of you.
Yeah, he was maybe like 15 feet in front of me. It was pretty traumatic. I remember very specifically, it wasn't just his head is the one that got ran over. So, like, it was this big burly truck that was like working construction for the day. And he was like riding with his forearms on the handlebars, to, like, open a Sobe bottle or something like that. And he like lost his balance, fell over. And as he hit the ground, the truck came by and ran over his head. It was very traumatic. And I mean, I definitely had a lot to work through from that point. But at that age, I still have my mother. So my mother was very supportive and wanted me to be able to work through all my issues with her. So it definitely helped strengthen my relationship with my mother. And then, you know, I got this tattoo with one of my other best friends. And even like at our high school graduation, I was voted on by my peers to like give a speech in commemoration and honoring Hunter. So to Lisa's point, I think that he has kind of given me a lot of guidance, whether it's directly or indirectly, as a spirit or just as an individual. So again, it's not really a story that I share often, so it's weird to have a platform to kind of speak about
it. Wow. That is a rough story.
Yeah. Anyways, I want to thank my guest today, Sandy in Franklin, Wisconsin, who doesn't like me, but I tried to win her over. Maybe we'll have her on later on. Again, that's Mark's mother-in-law. We also had Danny Brown on, who is the psychic. And if you need her, you can email her or just email us at isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. And then last but certainly not least, we had Lisa Devine, who was the angel whisperer slash psychic. And she can be found at themodernmagdalene.com. I just spelled it for you, but it's themodern, M-A-G-D-A-L-E-N-E.com. So next week, I'm very hopeful to have a couple of my fellow castaways from Paradise on. Probably the cutest couple. Well, I guess the only couple. Well, no, besides Taylor and Derek. One of the cutest couples to come out of Bachelor in Paradise this season, Raven and Adam. You know, Adam and I became very close friends over the course of my season and then throughout Paradise. And Raven, I think, is a gem, a little bit of a firecracker, but they're incredible together. They just spent the weekend in Arizona for Adam's homecoming for college, and they just seem to be very much in love. And I'd love to be able to get them on and talk about what makes them work, what advice they have for me from their perspective, and yeah, just kind of talk about things. So next week, that's what we're looking forward to. My name is Dean, and thank you so much for taking the time to listen. This was episode 6, Halloween edition of Help, I Suck at Dating. Again, my name is Dean, and maybe next week I'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help, I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.